Welcome to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's Wednesday, August the 29th, 2007. Up in the coming half hour, we'll talk all about the Farm Progress Show because we're live coming from the Farm Progress Show site, Progress City at Decatur, Illinois for 2007. Thanks to everybody who's gathered in the University of Illinois tent. We're located at the corner of West Progress and 3rd Streets. We hope that you can come out and see us, if not this afternoon, maybe tomorrow. Upcoming in this half hour, we'll talk with the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences about education at the U of I. Gary Schnitke should be along. I see him over in the corner over there. Just a brand new release from him today about land values and cash rent. Do you think it's going up in the next year? Yeah, that's probably right. He'll tell you by how much. So Gary Schnitke will be along as well. Dave Dickey on hand with us this afternoon, your Director of Agricultural Programming at the radio station. It'll all happen right here on the Closing Market Report this afternoon. Agricultural programming on the WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialist. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting your real regional sales manager, Scott Williamson. His number, 217-778-6485. Or a representative nearest you. Hi, Dave Dickey. How are you this afternoon?
I am doing very well, Todd. A welcome to you on Alumni Day.
It is Alumni Day. I'm an alum of Ag Communications in the College of Aces.
I'm
1986.
An alum
and you?
Of the College of Communications, 1987.
All right, so a couple of alum on stage here from the University of Illinois from Alumni Day at the University of Illinois tent. Paul Cooley is with us this afternoon to talk a little bit about what happened in the marketplace. Paul, we appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Let's take a look at the way the numbers finished. In the wheat market, the September contract at $7.42, a 21.5 cent gain this afternoon. December futures at $7.58.5, they were up 20.25. The March contract at $7.56 was up 17. September corn futures, $3.22.75, down 4.5. December contract at $3.40.25. Down 4.5 cents in the March contract at $3.57. They were down 4.5 for the day. December futures at $3.90.5, down a penny and 3/4. From the soy complex this afternoon, September beans 3.25 higher, $8.58.5. And the Novembers at $8.74.25 were up 2 cents. January futures $8.89.5, 1.5 higher in Novembers for next year, 2.5 lower at $8.86.5. September bean meal futures $2.35. They were 20 higher. The October futures at $2.37.50, unchanged on the day. September soybean oil futures $36.25, 20 higher. October futures up 20 at $36.50. Mercantile exchange numbers, August contract $94.65. They were 25 higher. The October futures 45 cents higher at $98 and a nickel. Feeder cattle October contract at $118.05. They finished 50 higher, rather up 50. And September futures were up 25 cents at $118.70. Lean hog futures October contract $67.75, down 15 cents. And December futures were 72.5 cents higher in the lean hogs at $68.75 for the afternoon. Paul Cooley, ADM Investor Services, here at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, kind of close to the old homestead. ADM not too far away. We can see most of the buildings right there in the distance to the south.
You know, it is a tremendous deal here. Two of the largest corn processing companies in the world are located here in Decatur. It's a historic location because it's the soybean processing was very important in this town. So it is a processing town and it's an agricultural town, and wow, what a tradition with the Farm Progress Show here.
Well, the other company, of course, is Tate & Lyle, the old A.E. Staley. Does anybody know how soybeans came into Illinois and the United States in general? In the 1930s, what did we use soybeans for?
Hay.
Hay, that's right, the old boys out there, hay. And in Decatur, it was A.E. Staley, wasn't it, who came around. Did he contract with you to grow soybeans? He contracted with farmers right here in the Midwest, contract grow soybeans, not for hay, but for soybeans. And he also went to Congress and he said, you know what, I don't like to import soybeans from where? Manchuria. So he had them put a tariff on soybeans. raise the price up so that farmers right here in the Midwest would be have an economic incentive to grow soybeans. Maybe we should start right there with the soybeans. Is there still, Paul Cooley, today an economic incentive for farmers to grow soybeans?
Oh, you betcha. And, you know, the idea is that we're going to need 4 million more acres of soybeans next year just to keep the carryover from dropping below 150 million bushels. The carryover this year is going to be, next is 220 million bushels, but the following year is 150 million. Talk about a tremendous incentive. We call that the $9 incentive.
Dave Dickey, it's all yours.
Thank you very much. And Paul, if you look at price action today, you see the wheat was up sharply. In fact, all-time historical highs in the December contract. And we saw corn down today. So I guess in the terms of the master plan and the long-range plan, things are going according to plan. Because ultimately, it seems to me, traders would like to sell the wheat market and buy the corn market.
As Steve Fried said, the wheat market is on an epic-making journey for price discovery. We do have to get the price of wheat high enough to restrict demand. There's nothing here in the marketplace today that we're getting there other than the fact that we are high. It costs a lot of money to ship wheat to the Gulf. It costs a lot of money to ship wheat around the world. There are other people that are selling wheat. It's probably going to be sometime in the March-April timeframe before we really see the world Southern Hemisphere wheat come onto the marketplace. Right now, it's a commodity game, and the winner is the bull in the wheat pits.
And if you look at that July contract of next year, it is at $6. That is a pretty good price to consider if you are planting wheat this fall.
$6 wheat should be an incentive. We were listening to several people that came by the booth here this afternoon, and the general feeling is that there will be more wheat planted in southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, in the south, the Delta. The general feeling is that, that's a better price than last year, but at the same time, it's not only going to be a price incentive. It's going to be several other competitive markets like new crop beans and new crop corn to bid up for that wheat acreage.
In fact, that got my attention when you said this morning at one of our agricultural outlook panels, don't expect it all to go wheat and double crop beans. Some producers are going to go just for long-term soybean acreage next year.
The soybean acres in our Terre Haute meeting a couple of weeks ago, the indication was, which would you rather plant, $6 wheat or $9 new crop soybeans? And the guy said, you know, it's awful easy to plant $9 beans. But there is this deal about a rotation, having different crops for different seasons of the year, and that fits into a good profit potential, particularly with our southern growing areas of the state.
You're one that thinks that in the September USDA report that we are going to see a lower yield number than in the August crop production numbers. Do you think that will be reflective on the board in the days, 3, 4, 5, 7 days out ahead of that report? Are we going to kick in a little rally? Because in the last week or so, we've been testing the downside of this market.
Yeah, a couple things. Because of the warmer temperatures, and you know, one of the traits that soybean or corn growers want is a quick dry down in their hybrids. And believe me, this year I think we're going to see it. One of my customers in Wayne County, Illinois, was talking about some 13% moisture corn. The general feeling here is the market is seeing the pipelines of corn come in earlier. We will have more estimates of corn. That will give us a pretty good indicator. My hunch is that the depth of kernel won't be as big, and we haven't had the advantages of cool nights and some cooler temperatures in here. The crop has matured. The crop tours say there's a lot of variability, and whenever that term comes up, historically it means that we don't have that tremendous bin buster yield that normally comes with those other characteristics.
Bulkley, one final question for you as we wrap out your segment during the closing market report. Farmers will be faced with the decision still probably as to which they should store, corn or soybeans. I know you want them to store both probably, but if they have the opportunity only to store one, which should it be?
You know, I would say you can store more beans in less space. I'd go for the soybean crop.
Thank you much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joining us here in the University of Illinois tent.
Give him a round of applause.
Show. That's right. Please give him a round of applause. Paul Cooley is our regular Wednesday analyst right here on WILL AM 580. You can hear him during the closing market report at this time on Wednesdays. And with Dave Dickey in the mornings at 9:50 a.m. during the opening market report. By the way, today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois and agricultural community and locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Well, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. Our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, will be here at 2:32. Here's what he has to say about the forecast for this evening. Tonight in northern Illinois, a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms early, and then clearing, and elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy with a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows will range from 55 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to around 70 in the south. Tomorrow in the north and central sections, mostly sunny. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy with a few widely scattered showers early and then becoming mostly sunny. Highs will range from 73 along the Chicago lakefront to 88 in the south. Coming to you live from Farm Progress City at the corner of 3rd and West Progress right here in Decatur, Illinois. This is the closing market report. Our thanks to the Chucks and the Chicks, who are our support staff this afternoon, for their musical talents. We appreciate it much. Give them a round of applause. On stage with us now is the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Bob Easter. Thanks for joining us, Bob. We appreciate it.
It's nice to have a cool spot to sit down here.
I arranged it just for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the stage is the coolest spot on this site, but it's not too terribly bad. Hey, you know, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the College of ACES and the educational side of this college as opposed to the research side. How many students do we have, and how are they split between consumers and agriculturalists?
We have about 2,300 students, just a few more than that at the moment. Typically, we run about 2,250. And it's an interesting student population. Probably, I would guess, 20% of them might be what we would consider traditional rural ag students. Many of them come from towns downstate, but they come from an urban background. And then certainly we get about 55% of our students from the collar counties in Cook County. That's not to say they aren't interested in agriculture, because this state does a great deal in food industry, and we have a lot of students in those programs. We do a great deal in agricultural finance, agricultural markets, all those things, very heavily based in Chicago, and that attracts students into our program as well.
In fact, tomorrow I believe that Jess Thompson will be on site with the high school students from the college, the High School for Agriculture in Chicago, and he'll be here with those students. Do we attract many? How is it that we attract those students? Do they come mostly out of that particular magnet school, or are there other? Or do we garner many students from urban and the collar counties?
What we find is that if students know about us and know about the career opportunities in agriculture, they're interested in talking to us about being part of the college. Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences is really a success story. Probably about 25 years ago, it was begun on the south side. It has an acreage. It has a farm. A very strong FFA chapter, very strong leadership program. It's been a real good feeder for us. City is now working on a second ag high school on the west side, and we're involved in that as well. But we bring students from a variety of backgrounds into our college in the summer in what we sometimes call apprentice programs, high school juniors, high school sophomores, to give them a sense of what ag careers are about. And we have a very high level of success attracting those very talented young people into agriculture. Our reality is that the food and ag system is a very large system, and the demands for human resources, for people, are growing. And there are not enough kids coming from rural high schools to meet that demand. And our challenge is to open those career opportunities up to other qualified students.
It's an interesting challenge. I know when you talk with department head of crop sciences, Bob Haft, he talks a great deal about the number of careers that will be opening in the next 2 to 3 years for crop scientists, which is really just the practical muddy boots kind of research that is done by Monsanto and Pioneer and DuPont and all the sorts of places that are producing seed and all the inputs for our agricultural industry. How do you view those careers in the coming years compared to those that, and I'm thinking those are rural kids' careers because they mostly would like the science background and want to stay on the farm, compared to other careers that might be available coming from the college in HCD or other areas?
I think the opportunities are across the board. We have done a career fair for many years in the fall to let employers come to campus and introduce themselves to our students. Typically 75, 100 companies. I think we had 130 representatives on campus last year. And you would be interested in the diversity of interest from the textile industry, the food industry, and then some of the traditional farm service agency, banks, and so forth dealing with agriculture.
Bob, we appreciate you being with us today.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
The Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences at the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. His name, of course, is Bob Easter. In just a couple of minutes, we'll get Gary Schnitke up, and he'll talk a little bit about a release from the USDA on those cash rents that farmers are going to be paying in the coming year. But right now, the Chucks and the Chicks join us rather than to hum. They're going to sing a song. The Chucks and the Chicks are made up of University of Illinois staff and employees. Judy Clem is with us, one of the Chicks, Diane Nolan, and Chuck Voigt. And if they can get him up here, hey, he's way over there. Well, Chuck Olson is there. Can you do it without him? I guess so. They're going to have to try to sing without him. That's okay. Well, I tell you what, where did... Well, I just don't see him. Everybody left. What's up? Okay, so the Chucks and Chicks are here. They're going to sing Hail to the Orange. The Chucks and the Chicks.
Hail to the orange. Hail to the blue.
Chucks and the Chicks, give them a round of applause right here in the University of Illinois tent on Progress City at the corner of West Progress and 3rd. Well, we were looking a little bit for Gary Schnitke to join us to talk about what he had to say on cash rents. We'll get him up here just a bit. He probably got cornered by a farmer out there wanting to ask the same question. Gary, well, come here, Gary, real quickly. He just finally showed up. Hi, Gary. Good afternoon to you. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thanks, Todd, for having me.
All right. You had a release this morning. You talked a little bit about, in that release, cash rent prices and a whole lot of other things that were going on in the world of agricultural land rents. What did you find? Who did you work with?
Well, we worked with the Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, and they do a mid-year survey, and during that survey they asked a couple of things, but they focused on what's happening to farmland values in the state, and basically the membership of that organization or the society indicated that farmland prices had increased by 5.9% across the state on average from January of this year to July. So over half a year, 5.9% increase.
There were fewer 1031 exchanges in the first half of 2007 compared with the previous year. What does that imply to you?
Yeah, we saw sizable decreases in 1031 exchanges. And basically what's happening is that urban development is cooling around Chicago, St. Louis, and the most metropolitan areas. We've all heard about the problems in the housing market and subprime lending. Well, that's also leading to less demand for urban or farmland to convert to urban. And that's led to less farmers selling land for urban and then moving on and buying it elsewhere. So 1031 exchanges have went down.
In fact, interest in increasing farmland among producers is up, is it not?
That's correct. And if last year, sitting here, we were concerned, or the society was concerned, that maybe we had seen a plateau in farmland prices because urban pressures on farmland prices had cooled, but then we had biofuel commodity prices increase, and that led to farmer interest in buying land, and that's what's now driving the farmland price increases.
And perhaps the most pertinent question for those in the audience who are producers is, what can we expect about cash rents in the new crop year?
Well, they're going up, and Illinois Society, and this would be professionally managed farmland, are estimating that cash rents on their farmland are going to go up $21 per acre. On excellent farmland, they're estimating our average of about $212 an acre in cash rent.
All right. Thanks much to Dave Dickey, Director of the Ag Programming here at the radio station, and to Gary Schnitke, Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, just released that document on cash rents and farmland values. You can find it on the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. From Country Insurance, Andy Martin and Craig Conroy join us to talk about insurance coverage on the farm. Good afternoon to you. Thanks much for joining us.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for having us.
Who wants to take up the topic this afternoon for just a bit about the kinds of coverage that farmers take and how they might need to consider changing that on things like combines in case they have a fire, on buildings? What kinds of things do they need to be considering?
Well, actually, at this point in time, we've introduced some new swine coverages available. I'm targeting specifically our swine clients. In August of this year, we've made some enhancements to our current suffocation coverage, increasing some deductible amounts and lowering rates. We've also seen a rise in contract growing within the state of Illinois. So as of 8/15, we've introduced a suffocation, asphyxiation, and freezing coverage for those non-owned growers. And with regards to your combine comment, we do have a loss of income coverage at Country that we provide, and we recently have made some changes to that coverage to provide more of a blanket coverage. And in the incident of harvest coming up here with a fire perhaps on a combine, that coverage would possibly provide some rental value to help them get the combine back out in the field as soon as possible.
Greg Conroy, of course, with us this afternoon from Country Insurance, and so is Andy Martin. Andy, tell me about the research department that Country employs and what you do.
Sure. As you probably know, since you're from Central Illinois, Country is rooted in agriculture for about 82 years. Over that time, we've really grown to become the number one farm insurance provider in the state of Illinois, Alaska, Oregon, and Nevada, and then also number two in Washington, accumulating in number five in the nation. With that, we really take a great pride and respect in our research department, where we go out and listen to our farm clients and agents and take the needs of the farmers and tailor that coverage and develop a product or make changes and enhancements to better suit the farming.
We appreciate the two of you being with us. Thanks much. You're listening to the Closing Market Report right here on WILL AM 580. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. I'm Todd Gleason, live from the Farm Progress Show. Okay, so 2 minutes back at the...
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The U.S. Agriculture Secretary says the Senate should lower income limits for farmers who receive federal subsidies. During his appearance today at the Farm Progress Show, Ag Secretary Mike Johann said the new farm bill passed by the House leaves the threshold of $1 million a year. But Johann says farmers who make more than $250,000 a year shouldn't be able to receive subsidies that are intended to protect them against low prices for major crops such as corn, soybeans, and cotton. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman disagrees, saying the payments shouldn't be limited. The Senate is due to take up the farm bill next month. A judge in Livingston County has set bond at $500,000 apiece for two teens accused of being involved in a gun scare that caused the lockdown of Pontiac Township High School yesterday. 16-year-old Sean Sullivan and 15-year-old Martin Huerta Jr. will be tried as adults on multiple weapons charges. Huerta is also charged with possession of cocaine. Authorities contend that Sullivan admitted talking to Huerta about buying the guns for $100 apiece and then discussed using cocaine as payment for one weapon. No ammunition was recovered and the guns weren't loaded. Huerta's 18-year-old sister Maribel says the charges are unjust and says there's no evidence against her brother. Several social service agencies expect cutbacks of some kind because the money they were expecting from the state may not make it. The money was promised by Representative Naomi Jacobson, who in turn got it into the state budget under so-called member initiatives. But last week, Governor Rod Blagojevich included the projects in the $463 million of budget vetoes he made, saying the projects were pork. Today, Jacobson called on people to lobby State Senate President Emil Jones to reverse his pledge to leave those cuts intact. Indiana water utilities are launching a new network they hope will help them restore water and wastewater services in disasters. Only three of the state's thousands of water and wastewater firms initially signed onto an agreement creating the network, but officials expect others to join later. Health officials say there might be a happy side effect from the heavy rains that hit northern Illinois last week. Those downpours may have reduced the number of mosquitoes that carry West Nile virus because it likely washed away the stagnant water where they breed. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. You're listening to WILL Urbana. We're coming to you live today from Progress City, the Farm Progress Show 2007 edition, right here in Decatur, Illinois. University of Illinois tent located at West Progress and Third Progress on the Farm Progress Show site. Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist from the radio station, on hand with us here all day long. Yesterday, today, and again tomorrow. Ed, it was hot yesterday, it's hot today, and maybe tomorrow will be the best day to come out to the show site?
I think temperature-wise, tomorrow will be the best day. Did you notice a cold front came through?
No, I'm hot.
Well, a cold front came through. Well, we'll call it a cool front, and it didn't really cool it down yet. The wind has now shifted. It's now out of the northwest, and at the Decatur Airport, gusts to 20 miles per hour out of the northwest. But the temperature is still 98, the heat index 101. And Decatur is about the hottest spot in all of Illinois and Indiana. There are thunderstorms forming well to our south and some well to the north, but none are coming in here.
Did you say 98 and 101?
98 with the temperature heat index 101.
Holy smoke. So if you're out there in the field in the countryside, make sure you get lots of liquids in you. And if you're here on the site, make sure you get water and Gatorade and all those things that are out there in you too, because you can dehydrate awful fast in this kind of weather. And the livestock needs to be taken care of as well.
That's true. It is a little hotter here than most places. It's only 94 back at the station.
Maybe we should go back there.
Actually, in northern Illinois, in northwest Illinois, it's down to 77, and as close by as Peoria, it's 87. So cooler air is starting to head this way.
Will we get rain with it?
Scattered showers and thunderstorms actually have become numerous in the Wabash Valley, just south of I-70 in Clark County on down into southern Illinois. There's locally heavy rainfall right now, and some of that in Indiana, too. Mostly south of I-70, some other storms have formed in northern Indiana along the Michigan border. But it looks like for this area, we're probably not going to see much of anything. We could see a couple isolated showers and thunderstorms in central Illinois this evening, but doesn't look like much in the way of rain for more than a week.
And would that be for the rest of the Midwest, too? Because there's a good portion of the Midwest that's been awfully dry.
Well, the rains that are coming to parts of southern Illinois and Indiana and Kentucky today are in some of the very dry parts. But what doesn't come today or tonight, that's it for a while for everybody.
All right, thanks much. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, tomorrow will be a great day to come out here. The temperature only getting up into the low 80s instead of 90s.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser, thanks much, Ed. We appreciate you being on stage with us here at the Closing Market Report during this 2007 edition of the Farm Progress Show. Our thanks much to everybody who helped out on today, including Dave Dickey, our Director of Ag Programming. The Chucks and the Chicks are with us this afternoon. They'll guide us out. We appreciate it much. And thanks to everybody here in our studio audience. Stay safe out there. Stay cool if you can, and make sure you put a lot of liquids in your system. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.